Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. Well, as you probably can remember, a few weeks ago, we had a very enjoyable gathering at the Vernilla Picnic Grounds, those of you that were there, and services were held in the afternoon. And you probably also remember that Mr. Bornhorst gave the sermon, and maybe you also remember the topic of his sermon. If not, it was about how to achieve success. The title was A Pathway to Success. And in his message, he provided points on how to do so, how to be successful in life. And the first of those points being to set goals and to pursue them. To recognize your talents and set goals based on those God-given talents. And of course, the point is not to set goals only based on those talents. Rather, it's to work your hardest to achieve them. As the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Mr. Bornhorst also talked about not being lethargic, rather we're to be goal-oriented, achievement-driven people, giving God the glory in all that we do, because of course, the talents come from him. The greatest and most important goal being to pursue righteousness, as he said. He referenced the church in Laodicea as an example of what not to be, a very lethargic congregation of people that God says in Revelation 3 and verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. So then, and pardon the pun, but the goal, as Christians is clear, we're to be goal-oriented, achievement-based people, constantly setting goals and achieving them. Constantly educating ourselves, as he also mentioned, constantly honing our abilities as Christians so as to achieve those goals. Is that how we are? Is that how you are? Is that how I am? Hopefully so. This message, though, is for those who are already goal-setting, achievement-oriented people. And as Mr. Bornhorst clearly articulated from Scripture, that is, again, how we are to be. The point of this message is not, though, about becoming that, not about becoming that type of person. He covered that. Rather, it's for those who are already that type of person, those who are already on a path of lifelong goal setting and achievement. It's their habit. They set goals. They work towards achieving them. And after they achieve those goals, they set new ones and work towards achieving them. And again, and again. So obviously, those people have a lot going on in their lives. They're usually very busy. They are responsible for a lot. A lot they answer for, of course, because of that responsibility and with good reason. Throughout their lives, they gain much knowledge, much wisdom, much experience. They have a lot they can pass on to others. But again, the point is not to continue Mr. Bornhorst's sermon message. So that leads me to my question. A question to hopefully get us thinking. Question: what is a goal-oriented, achievement-based person to do when they become frustrated? They're frustrated because they've set a goal, not just any goal. No, it's a goal they see they have the God-given ability to achieve. They're working hard to achieve that goal. They're working with all their might, as the scripture says, but to no avail. The achievement is not coming. What is a goal-oriented, achievement-based person to do? Goal set, check. Working towards achievement with all their might, check. But no achievement, no check. Frustrating. Frustration. Frustration to no end for those people, right? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. What do we do? What do you do when we get there? Just to be clear, I'm not talking about setting a goal to accomplish something that might take only a day, might take only a week, or maybe only a month. No, I'm talking about setting goals that take years to achieve. Sure, there's frustration that ensues when short-term goals aren't met, but that frustration is also short-lived. No, I'm talking about goal setting that takes years to achieve. It takes years for Christians. It's a constant goal-oriented life to pursue righteousness, as Mr. Bornhorst said. That's a whole different level of frustration when not achieved. Whole orders of magnitude deeper frustration. But for goal-oriented people, this happens. It's part of life. What are they to do with their frustration? How do they handle it in a godly manner? It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with because prolonged frustration leads to anger, which leads to bitterness. Bitterness is bad. It's not good. Well, first off, to get it out of the way, a lack of patience is usually not the answer for these people, because remember, they're already used to setting goals that take years to achieve. So they already have patience and they already have perseverance, so that's not usually the solution. And if you happen to see someone in this position, don't try convincing them that, especially when they can see others of their peers that maybe have achieved the same thing. That won't get anywhere. So then what are the solutions? Well, there are a few. So for the remainder, we're going to go through a few points to hopefully help you if you find yourself in this position. Maybe you've already been there. If not, you will be. But first, the definition of the word frustration, just so for sure we know this word applies. Frustration. It's the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. Frustration. 7 points. First one, pinpoint and identify the obstacles. Pinpoint and identify the obstacles. Is it a lack of resources, skills, feedback, or support? Is it a conflict, though, maybe between your goals, your values, priorities, or expectations? Is it a change in the situation, the environment, or the goal itself? Could be lots of different obstacles, but we need to pinpoint, figure it out. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. Well, actually, we'll turn there. If you want to start going to Psalms 139 and verses 19, we'll start in verse 19, Psalms 139, verse 19. It's an excellent example here. Saul, who was standing in the way from David becoming king, and he'd been anointed to be king, David was. Saul was a very large and looming obstacle for David. Saul even tried to kill him. There are many verses that we could turn to where David spoke in Psalms about how he was dealing with this obstacle, but we're just going to read one here quickly, Psalms 139 and verses 19, and we'll go to 24. David says, "Surely you will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against me? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Yeah, obviously David is, the goal here is to become king of Israel, right? He'd been anointed to do just that, but Saul is standing in his way. Here David has clearly identified the source of his problem. It's wicked, it's bloody men. But so as not to become like them, he asks God to search him and try him. And if there be found any wickedness in him, he asks God to lead him in the way. These are clearly words from a goal-oriented man who sought to identify those obstacles and ask God for his help and intervention in slaying the wicked who stood in his way. Okay, moving on to number two, adjust your mindset. Adjust our mindset. How you think about your goals, your progress, my progress, can affect how you feel and act. If you focus on the negative aspects, the gaps, or the failures, you may feel even more frustrated, discouraged, or hopeless. However, if you adopt a positive, growth-oriented, and realistic mindset, you may feel more optimistic, resilient, and confident. If you want to turn there, it's a very quick verse found in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, and this is the easy English translation. quick verse here to help us adjust our mindset. Be careful how you think. Your thoughts make you the person that you are. Solomon is so wise, and this is just so clear, so straight, so to the point. Be careful how you think. Your thoughts make you the person that you are. You want to adjust your mindset? Change your thoughts. Everything we are, the person we are right now, stems from the thoughts we have. It's that simple. Solomon made it that simple because it is that simple. So if we need to adjust our mindset, then we must adjust our thoughts. 3, revise your plan. Revise your plan. Sometimes frustration comes from having a plan that is too vague, unrealistic, rigid, or maybe it's even outdated. Make sure the plan is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Of course, we could talk a long time about each one of those supporting points, but the overall is revise your plan. Or, even much more importantly, make sure it's a plan that God wants for you. Going back to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 this time. Another very quick verse because Solomon could just make it very concise, straight to the point, and easy to understand. Again, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart thinks, hey, I think this is what I should be doing. This is my goal, but the Lord directs his steps. Another one from Solomon where you can't say it better. We plan, but God directs. The revising we need to do sometimes is to seek God's will. What does he want for us? What does he want us to do for him and for others around us? Do we desire a good thing, the right thing for us and others? Maybe so, but maybe not. Seek God. 4, seek support. You don't have to face your frustration alone. Seek support. So if you've identified the obstacles, you've adjusted your mindset, and you revised your plan all to deal with the frustration and still need help, then seek support. And what better support than what we can read in Isaiah 41 and verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 41, 9 through 11. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. He's talking to us. And he's called you from the chief men thereof and said unto you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed, and they shall be confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. So, obviously, with God's support, who can be against us? Seek support from family, friends, and especially God. 5, take a break. Take a break. You want to start turning to 1 Kings 19. We'll start reading in verse 1. We'll read here how Elijah, he needed a break. Step away for a while from trying to achieve the goal, and sometimes just take a break when it's necessary. 1 Kings 19, and starting in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So Jezebel just sent a messenger and said, you're a dead man. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. He's spent. He's tired. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's." He also feels very down. And as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto you, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat, and he drank, and then he lay down again. He needed to sleep some more. He was that tired. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and he touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And he arose without eating, right? He's going to be too great if he didn't eat some more. And he arose, and he did eat, and he drank. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Here, Elijah clearly needed some rest. He clearly needed some relaxation, and he needed some good, nutritious food. I mean, we could talk about how maybe he didn't handle the death threats very well, but, you know, how does anyone handle death threats well? So, either way, you know, he sought God's will, and it wasn't God's will for him to be done. He gave him food twice, two naps, so that he could go on and continue doing God's work. Elijah clearly needed rest, and there are times when we do too. 6, keep going. Keep going. Frustration is not a sign that you should give up. Keep going. Apply all of what we've discussed already and keep going. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. This is another one of those quick verses that just sum it up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint." Let us not be weary in well doing, brethren. God's there to give us strength through his Holy Spirit to keep on going. And last, we do need to hold out that sometimes if all else fails, it's okay with some goals that we move on. You will start turning to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 4. Sometimes we just need to move on from that goal and set a new one. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run." Here he's using the analogy of setting a goal to win a race, right? "Let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures," right? Set the goal, "endures such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, as Jesus had done." So anything that we attempt to do doesn't measure or come close to what Jesus accomplished, and he did so for us. So if we are beset by that frustration, it begins to become sin perhaps for us, then move on. These verses put it all in perspective, I think, don't they? When all else fails, always remember that no matter what we strive against in our efforts, our goal is to pursue righteousness and put away sin. None of us have resisted unto blood as did Christ. So those are the 7 points. In conclusion, set goals. Of course, set goals. Set many of them. Be goal-oriented always. God is oriented that way, and so should we be oriented that way. But in setting those goals, we will endure frustrations. But just as much as the importance to set goals and to be oriented that way is the importance in how we deal with the frustrations that come. draw close to God, set those goals to His glory, and don't let those frustrations drag you down, and don't weary.